Why It Ended is brought to you by you. That's right. Why It Ended has fought against the odds in the crowded world of wrestling podcasts and become one of the top three or four wrestling interview podcasts in the entire world. And we are doing more downloads than ever. Last week was our biggest week ever, and this week's going to be bigger than that. And you can advertise to all the wrestling fans that listen to Why It Ended, whether you have a wrestling-related product or you have a product that you would advertise to the coveted 25 through 44 male demographic. We got them, and they will hear all about your product on Why It Ended. Just email us at whyitendedmail@gmail.com. That's whyitendedmail@gmail.com. Why keep your product a secret? Tell it to all the wrestling fans you can on Why It Ended.
What's up, guys? It's hashtag Why It Ended Wednesday, and we are fresh off last week's episode with the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, where he berated me and made fun of me for about 50% of the episode. But then this past Saturday at House of Hardcore in Woodbridge, New Jersey, at my old high school where I used to teach at, we teamed together and won our match, so we're friends again. Can you believe that, Matt?
You know I've left podcasts before, right? You know, like, I've walked away from podcasts before.
Believe me, I know. I'm waiting for the day when, like, it says that your number is not in service anymore.
Because you set me up, you know, enough people hate me, and now we're calling Tommy Dreamer. But it was funny, once he got on the phone, and, well, after he hung up a couple times, but after he got on the phone, he was willing to talk with me, at least, about his WWE run. I thought it ended up being a great show, despite his hatred of you.
Well, I mean, he hangs up on me two or three times every time I call him about anything. So it was kind of normal to me. And that's how I knew with the threat to no-show the show, I knew he would come around and talk to us for a little bit.
So a funny thing about Tommy I should have mentioned last week is my son came up to me one day and he goes, "What is the deal with Robbie and Tommy Dreamer?" Right? And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he said that you just do these really long run-on sentences and tweet him, and you go like, "When you did that, did you walk a mile, and did you gig your face, and did you do this?" And so Matthew asked you what the deal was with your tweets with Tommy Dreamer, so you don't look like a complete moron. What is the deal with your tweets with Tommy Dreamer?
Well, he'll tweets, it's Instagram. I mean, it's private text also, but he started doing that. So whether he would tweet me something or text me something, he had this phone that was like a slide-up phone. Like, I don't know if they were called a kickback or something. Like, ones like middle school kids have.
Right.
So, with his big fingers and the little buttons, it was hard for him to type. So, he would, like, just write, like, short sentences, or I guess he would try and skip words. So, he would just put, like, "Why are going to," and that's how he would talk about things. So, I would do it back to him. And now we just do it back and forth to each other and just combined a whole bunch of inside jokes. And it's really just great for everyone in the outside world to read them and have no clue what we're talking about. But it's funny.
Now, of course, what's not funny, well, parts of it are very funny, is our interview with Sean Daivari, which is on our Patreon right now, patreon.com/whyitended. It's a great interview about one of the most interesting stories in professional wrestling. So make sure to check that out. We got a live show going up soon. And of course, if you're on Patreon already, you've got the interview that we're going to play you today, we're going to do today, because I am really excited about our guest, mainly because, Robbie, he beat you.
Yeah, well, it seems like you like anyone who makes fun of me or beats me or anything, but nonetheless, I'm excited also because we have David Arquette, who not only has two different errors of wrestling to talk about back in whatever year it was when he won the World Heavyweight Championship, and then now currently, so two different, you know, portions of wrestling, which I think it's going to be pretty wild to hear about. But also, I mean, he comes from a different world than all of us. We talk to trained professional wrestlers. This guy's a guy who came from the world of acting, a family of actors and actresses, so it's just going to be a completely different take on his story in professional wrestling, which is what makes Why It Ended so cool. We get everybody.
And of course, he has trained now and definitely paid his dues if recent headlines, you know, are to speak about that. And he's someone that I think has got the respect of a lot of the wrestling fans. I do have to say, though, Robbie, if we if we don't do shows, if we can only do shows with people that you haven't beaten or that don't make fun of you, I mean, we did Coco Beware. I don't know anybody else who fits in that category.
Yeah, Coco might be the only one who never beat me. But I bet if I ever got in the ring when his bird was around, I bet his bird would have beat me. I've lost to animals before.
Did you put him, did you put him in a brown paper bag like Coco?
At why it ended on Twitter, at why it ended on Instagram, whereitended.com is our YouTube. If you're listening to us, make sure you're subscribing and telling your friends and leaving us 5-star ratings, getting the shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees and the Patreon appreciation. We're loving it, guys. You're the best. Let's get ready right now for one of our great Patreon members, James Donnelly, to kick it us into our interview with the intro today.
On, wait, that's his job now.
Duh.
Hello, this is Brent, owner of PleasurePronicsUSA.com. And with the holidays coming, we have a new special offer for the wide-ended listener. Visit StopUsingYourHand.com/booty and pick up one of our top-selling products. Regularly priced $160 for only $95. And that $95 includes free shipping. This realistic booty replica is made from soft, realistic cyber flesh and features two uniquely textured entry points for maximum pleasure. If a little booty's not going to do it for you, we still have the free stroker promotion as well. Visit StopUsingYourHand.com/promo and enter the code FISTBUMP. That's right, Robbie does the fist bump, and so can you with this free stroker. All you have to pay is $6.95 for shipping and handling. Take advantage of one of these promotions today or visit StopUsingYourHand.com and check out our other exciting products, including our flagship, the 3V Starlet Stroker. That's right. Have you ever wanted to be with a porn star? Now you can with a 3V Starlet Stroker. Have vibration. Have that voice of sexy Lauren Phillips or Sarah J or six other adult superstars send you over the top with the 3V Starlet Stroker. Come on, guys. Check your ego at the door. You know everybody does it. Why deprive yourself of satisfaction when Pleasure Products USA cares about your privacy? Your order will arrive in plain packaging, and your credit card statement will not reflect an adult product was purchased. So what are you waiting for? Visit StopUsingYourHand.com today. And remember, Pleasure Products USA, our business is your pleasure.
This is Patreon member James Donnelly, and I want to know why it ended.
And joining us today, you know, he's a pivotal figure in wrestling history in a lot of ways, and he's been in the news a bit lately, and one of the nicest people I've ever come across, and especially because he beat Robbie E. Joining us today, the great David Arquette. How you doing, David?
Thank you. I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, you know, Matt, I didn't think he was that nice when he had me in the sharpshooter last week. I mean, my back is still hurting from that. In fact, I don't think he's nice at all. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for doing this, man.
No, that was a great match. You're amazing talent, and thanks for doing that match with me. Jeez, hey, no. I wish I would have stopped there. I went to a table at the end for Bully Ray, and I've been limping ever since.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You said that your back was beat up from it. How are you feeling?
I'm all right. It's weird. Like, something like kind of went pop. It popped when it happened. So I was like, uh-oh. And then I had to get up, and I was like, ooh. And my brother's got, like, a slip disc. And I talked to my doctor about it. He's like, well, it does come with age, and it is hereditary. I'm like, oh, gosh.
Matt, have you ever heard a pop when you were doing anything, Matt?
When I get out of the chair every day.
I know. The thing is, you got to be, like, just so, like, conditioned. Like, you can't even take, a few days off. You got to be so ready for it, there. And I had just come off a film, so I hadn't been able to train every day. So once you just aren't training every day, ready for the bumps,
Oh, dude, when your body's, some people used to say, when you go a long time without bumping in the ring, it actually, your body hurts more than when you are bumping in the ring because you're away from it. It's really weird.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So when did David Arquette first fall in love with pro wrestling? Like, is this something you liked as a young child?
Yeah, as a young child, at first, I first fell in love with it, and then me and my buddies all started watching it together. You know, the youngest member is like knowing about wrestling, and then, you know, wrestling my dad or my dad, and me and my first dad like just attacking either one of our dads. You know what I mean? Just like trying to pin them. And then, yeah. And then I remember my friends and like practicing suplexes, you know, on like mattresses and going to the and seeing Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant at our first match, and just was just blown away and ran to the ring and like, I mean, to the gate there and tapped Andre on his way, just like. You know, just fell in love with it from there. You know, followed the storylines, and it was really, you know, that whole Junkyard Dog time, Macho Man, you know, all those, that whole time period. And my wife, I say it a lot, but my wife, she looks just like Miss Elizabeth. I'm convinced that's like my ideal woman was kind of...
Why you like her.
Why I like that dark-haired girl.
Hey, as an actor
with perms,
as an,
I like them to stand in the corner for some, right by the
do you make her be your valet when you're at home? You know, you're just sitting in the kitchen. You make her stand in the corner and cheer you on as you're cooking.
Do you push her around by the chin like Macho Man pushed her?
I get bossed around. Yeah, exactly. Oh God.
Hey, so David, as an actor, someone whose family, of course, very associated in acting and part of, you know, Hollywood acting royalty in a lot of ways, you're watching wrestling. Did it give you a different viewpoint on wrestling than, say, your average ordinary kid? Like, were you focused on the performance more than the athleticism, or was it pretty much the same for you as it would be for anybody?
I always remember great promos. You know what I mean? I didn't know what it was about Rowdy Piper, but I just hated him. You know, part of my problem, and it's like come with me through this experience, is that I'm extremely gullible. I like I'm a bit of a daredevil, and I'm gullible. So those two things in wrestling are pretty bad because you get yourself a situation that you probably shouldn't be in.
Yeah, this
but
is
true.
But I
believe a lot of stuff. I trust a lot of people. I like, you know, people can say something to me that's clearly, you know, not true. Like anyone would know it's not true, but I'll just say, oh yeah, really? You know, I don't know why. I'm trying to get better at that, but you know, even just being a 47-year-old man, I haven't been like taught enough lessons that I'm like, you know, it's so weird. Like this whole experience I've been going through, I'm like learning stuff all the time and learning stuff about acting that I never knew, you know, levels of subtlety. You know, I'll do something in the ring. Part of my problem is like I'm trying to learn how to, and this last match was probably the best. I was able to take my time, not rush everything. And I know if I watch back on the match, I know I'll see like, oh, I totally rushed everything. But you watch something and you'll try to do something like subtle or whatever, which, you know, subtle in wrestling is, you know, it's a questionable.
It's not statement. Subtle like real life.
Are you yeah. saying that Robbie E isn't subtle?
No, but, you know, I'm sitting across from him, and I bet you if I watched it back, I could see, like, oh, that didn't look nearly as big as it felt like when I was watching it. You know what I mean? I feel that way myself. I'll do something that I feel like is huge, and then I'll watch back, and I was like, you know, from the vantage point of this camera, it looks really kind of, you can barely see.
Yeah, the things that you say, like when you think you're going too slow, you're going too fast, and too fast, too slow. And then when you think you have a really good match and you watch it, it doesn't look as good. And then when you think you have a crappy match, you watch it, and you're like, hey, it's not that bad. That's how I always take when I watch myself wrestling. Wow. It's always opposite of what I thought.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's such a bizarre world. It's so, like, interesting. And just, you know, and the whole relationship with the audience and, you know, being present enough to connect with them, even though you're in the middle of this wild situation.
In your underwear.
Some of the best moments. Yeah. Yeah. But when you could turn to them and just make a split second connection, like, you know, hey, what are you doing here? Whatever it is. Or, you know,
so,
you know, say to a kid, you're a champion, whatever it is.
So, David, as an, you know, you had a successful acting career and you kind of stumbled into the world of wrestling, but you, the thing is, it was something that you actually loved. So when did you first get the call that from WCW that said, we want to do something with you, or was it just getting the movie of Ready to Rumble?
Yeah, well, first getting the movie to Ready to Rumble, I saw the script and then I read it. And I was like, wait a second. Are you saying that Macho Man Randy Savage is going to be in this film? Like, they're like, yeah, it's WCW. They're Warner Brothers. It's like a co-production. They're like part of it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Well-written script. It's funny, you know, over the top. Some people had a problem when it first came out because the wrestler hadn't come out yet. And, you know, but that was documentary and had more of a realistic look at wrestling. And this was more of a fun comedy. But a few funny things that's happened, like the people that liked it back then who were more teenagers have now grown up or in their 30s. So they had a totally different sort of take on it. A lot of the people who saw it back then who were adults who were more wrestling fans who didn't like it are probably the ones who still hate the whole run and everything. And so then I don't know. I got the script and I loved it. And then after doing the film, they wanted me to promote it. So I went out and I did one, like jumping in the ring, and I didn't even know what it was. I still like that whole time period was a blur, but I jumped in the ring and like, I got, you know, something happened to me. Or, yeah. I got like, I don't know, diamond cutter or something. Something happened to me. And all I remember was that I had been sitting there and I'd been drinking beers because I was just in the audience and I was like, had like a couple beers and I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. They're like, you can't go to the bathroom. You're about to come up. They're like, you be ready. They're like, this is going to happen soon. So I went in the ring and they like, you know, I took my bump, but I had a full bladder and just remember like, oh, that hurt because
I thought you were gonna say you peed yourself or something.
Oh, I could have happened very easily, but I learned right then to definitely go to the bathroom before. My son's here, so hey, Tony. Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah,
so yeah. After being brought into kind of some angles, you know, yeah. you were brought in and you leaped in the ring to confront Eric Bischoff. And as you said, you kind of aligned yourself with Chris Kanyon and Diamonds Dallas Page, and you had a match with Eric Bischoff. What was the reaction like with the people in WCW? Were they like, here's this big star, or were they like, what the hell is he doing here?
Yeah. Kanyon, they were, it was just like I was just doing sort of a celebrity thing where they just come in and, you know, a thing, and then you'll, you know what I mean? It just sort of enhances the beginning. It was fine, but they didn't really care. You know, it was really great. Like Chris Kanyon, guy was just so amazing. And Shane Helms, who was just so cool and still cool. I got to tag with him once at Northeast Wrestling, which was incredible. So that was fun. I was just like learning little stuff. And I'd worked with these guys for a month on a film. So, you know, Paige and Kanyon and Kanyon did all the double work for Oliver Platt's character, Ready to Rumble. So I got to know them and Shane Helms did all my stunt work on Ready to Rumble. So we had a good relationship, so it was kind of cool. I got to hang out with my friends and be involved in wrestling a little and be in the crowds. And WCW was pretty big at the time, and, you know, I was traveling a little. And then they presented me with this opportunity to become the champion, and I was like, well, this is a terrible idea. I mean, and then I didn't know what to do, really. It was kind of, like, crazy, but I was like, are you serious? And Dallas couldn't believe it. He was like, yeah, they're serious. And I thought about it, and it was an opportunity to travel. You know what I mean? To get in deeper with it, to be a part of this thing. I didn't at all take it. You know, the reaction that came, the sort of, you know, how it tainted the belt in a way and what was to come with the company as well. So none of those things I was really considering. The fact that I get to, you know, travel with Sting and Hulk Hogan and, you know, Ric Flair, like get to go to the show and get to know him. It was kind of a wrestler. I consider myself a mark. I know some people think it's a bad term, but I don't. I like, I've been a mark. I'm, you know, a wrestling mark. I love it. I buy my favorite wrestler's shirts, and I, you know, I like the toys, and I go to the few places. Like, if I wasn't still involved or was never involved, I'd probably still be going to these shows and all this stuff anyway. So, you know, it's interesting. I saw you with your son there, and that just kind of at the last show, and it's Escape. It's an amazing show.
Hey, well, real quick,
just a great opportunity. Yeah,
to go back right to when you said that you won the title. You said how everyone treated you before that, but what about after that? Like after you got that, was there any different vibes in the locker room from any of the guys at all, or any hard? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I first won it, I was sitting at the bar, and half the people, some of the guys, stayed earlier. You know, we're at the bar, and I had the belt with me, or I had it up in my room. No, it was up in my room, because I was so worried about it. They gave it to me, and they said, you're in charge of this now. I said, well, I'm in charge of this? You have to travel with it. You cannot check it. You have to bring it as a carry-on. And it's a real belt. I'm looking at it. It's all beat up, and there's missing jewels. And I'm like, you're telling me that if I lose this, I lose the belt, the actual belt? Like, they're like, yes, you cannot lose that. So that was a whole trip in itself, and I was worried about leaving in the hotel room. But then I went down to the bar, and I'm sitting there, and I forgot the wrestler's last name, but his name was Hugh, and he came up to me. And I said, did you hear? I just I won the championship. He goes, are you kidding me? And I said, no. He goes, this business, I hate this business. I can't believe this stupid business. And he like stormed off. That was like the first cue, like, oh, people are pissed about this.
Who is it that you said that?
A guy named Hugh. I forgot his last name.
Oh, Hugh Morris?
Yeah, I think so. But no offense to you. He was right. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he was a, you know, worker for a long time. So Hugh just had been caught off guard. And, you know, I don't know. A few of these guys, you know, they've been around a while. Like, I got to know Booker T. I got to know a lot of people, like, while I was doing the movie. So some of them, I had a lot of prior sort of, you know, days on set with and stuff like that. So, but then everything changed. I did buy everyone drinks, and I bought pizzas, and I tried to be a good champion.
Hey, so let's take you back to that decision making to let you become the champion. Now, you're someone who obviously has a lot of respect for wrestling, reverence for wrestling. I saw that the other night. You're brought this idea by Vince Russo. Of course, Tony Schiavone and him go back and forth on whose idea it actually was. But the idea is brought to you. You're saying maybe even at the time you didn't think it was the best idea. Of course, they're probably, I know Vince pretty well, so he's probably saying it's good publicity. It's, you know, it's a good thing for the company. It's going to help the company. There's no problem with it. What were the negatives that you saw as far as getting the title? Like, was there a lot of anxiety about that before you agreed to do it?
I got to admit, at first it was just like, you know, it was just like, you're joking, right? And then You know, I think he was sitting in like a camera truck or something. It was like this little space. He was telling me about it. And one of the main things I heard is you get to travel with us and stay on for, you know, a couple weeks. And that was the one thing that I was like, oh, wow, that would be amazing. I didn't really think of like the other stuff. That almost happened later. It happened with the fans' reactions, the wrestlers' reactions. But also I was sitting backstage one time, ready for a show in the locker room, and Booker T was there, and I had got to know Booker T pretty well, and I said, and I didn't know, like, I was like, and I had kind of followed I'd followed a lot of WWE, and I wasn't as familiar with WCW. I mean, I was familiar with a lot of the legends, but I wasn't as familiar with the whole thing. So I said, Booker T, have you ever been the champion? He was like, no, man, I've never been the champion. And I asked Canyon, and he'd never been the champion. I was like, what? So when I went out that night in my interview, I went off script. I said, I shouldn't be champion. Booker T should be champion, and Canyon should be champion.
Hey, Matt, so do you invest money?
You know, Robbie, I never have, but I think you know about this too. I just started using the Robinhood app, and the Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free.
Yeah, it really is awesome because they strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy people. So it works perfect for every human being.
You know, and for me, it's easy to be intimidated to go into the stock market, but it's a non-intimidating way for the stock market newcomers like me and you to invest for the first time with true confidence.
Yeah, it's clear design with data presented in an easy to digest way, which means even Robbie E can understand it.
And you know, if Robbie E is using it, it's easy to use. But what I liked about it is I never know what kind of money's involved in these kind of things. And I guess other brokerages cost up to like charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge you commission fees. You trade stocks and keep all of your profits.
Yep. So you could do what me and Matt did, and you could sign up for free. Zero, zilch, nothing.
And, you know, if you're like Robbie and you need something that's easy to use, it is easy to use, and you learn by doing. You learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds, and they have custom notifications for price movements, so you never miss the right moment to invest.
So, guys, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. All you got to do is sign up at ended.robinhood.com. That's ended.robinhood.com.
For free. You have nothing to lose. Sign up today. ended.robinhood.com.
So, as far as, like, you know, I did share a little advice. You know, for what I could, you know. But then in the meantime, they're throwing these scripts at me, like pages of dialogue that I'm supposed to memorize, and, you know, and they're also, like, saying things like, all right, you're just going to get beat up here, and then we're not going to see you till, you know, you come out, and then you're going to go in, you're going to spear him. Like, I'm not even aware of, like, all that's happening. My place in the ring, like, you know, not blocking cameras. Like, I didn't know anything. Like, you know, I was like, you know, you're like, you're going to come out, you have a black eye. I was like, oh, man, who's going to punch me? You know? And they're like, no, it's all right. We're not going to have to punch you. I was like, because I'm gullible. I'm like, wait, I didn't know, like, you know, some gimmicks exist in the business. You know what I mean? I thought everything was real.
And, so wait, so know, but memorizing script, but like for all the scripts you've memorized in movies and stuff, that didn't help you?
It helped me a little. I mean, it would have been much harder if somebody hadn't. I wasn't like, you know, that they gave me the caveat that, you know, this is the idea, you know, and you don't have to hit every single word. I'm studying like a script. I'm like, can we run the lines? You know what I mean? This is like the way it's done. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this is a whole different ballgame. You know what I mean? And you know, even that, delivering promos, like, I'm still, you know, watching Dusty Rhodes and watching Ric Flair and watching these guys. And, you know, you don't want to copy anyone, but you want to see what made their promos so great and what makes a great promo. And, you know, and then how you infuse subtlety into a world that's so over the top. So, you know, I mean, it's funny because a lot of it's coming back to me. For me, my experience in this is you make it real. You know what I mean? Things are good when they're real. When you're telling a real story, when you're emotionally invested, when, you know, the experience is something that that they can relate to, that you can relate to, that you believe yourself, that you're feeling, that true emotions come up. And when that stuff starts happening, it's when you have a good performance. It's like, you know, when you have a good performance sometimes and you're on a set and it's a great set decorator and you're working with great actors and director and it's good script. For a second there, you can forget there's cameras around, you know. You can just be in the moment. You could be there. And when that happens, it's sort of those golden moments. And it's interesting. Like, those golden moments happen a lot, but those golden moments in wrestling happen with fans. They happen on the way to the arena. They happen like this weird world. You know, the first day I showed up, I thought you were going to be pissed at me, and I never told him about this, but I show up to my hotel and the night before the House of Hardcore, and I changed, putting it back on me, I changed my reservation. Like, I say, I'm coming in a day early. Can you, to work something out, can you just make a reservation and whatever? I show up to the hotel from the airport and they don't have a room for me. And I'm like, are you sure? It's not under this name, that name, you know? And then I see that Brian Cage has a room there. It's like, wait, he's got a room here? And they're like, yeah, but that's the only room we got left. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I go out, and I was like, is there a hotel around? They said there's a hotel across the street. So, like, I get my bags, and I'm, like, starting to roll across the street to the layover inn. And Brian shows up in the shuttle, and he's like, where are you going, man? And I'm like, yeah, they didn't have a room for me. I think I'm getting, like, the rookie hazing. So I had to go across the street to the layover inn. And luckily, I can, like, afford. Or now I hear that you're just saying, hey, can I bunk with you, kind of thing. But I'm an uncomfortable social person, so that would have been weird. But I went to the layover inn, so that was good. I don't know why I tell that story. I tell that story because those are those little moments when you're on the road, little moment like Sting popping his head between the two seats, you know, at the height of Stingness, and he pops his head between two seats. He goes, what you reading? Like, the airplane magazine. Is it good? I'm like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, it's so weird to hear you speak. That's strange for me. And the other thing is, you know, I don't know. It's just a fun, as I'm walking through a airport with Hulk Hogan and talking to Hulk Hogan about Andre the Giant, and then walking through and him knowing the guy at the, you know, newsstand's name and how's your son doing? like these guys have traveled through these places for 30, 40 years.
Just dude, amazing. It's so crazy that you still sound so excited, like you're a little kid talking about, like, walking with Hogan and Andre, that you love it that much. That's awesome. Did you ever get this excited about meeting, like, a big actor, like you got meeting Sting and Hulk Hogan?
No, that's another part about it. Yeah, because I kind of grew up in Hollywood, and, like, you know, we meet people. Oh, I did. I worked with Marlon Brando once, and I got totally, like, with him. Because he's like a... It was snowing out. It was really cold. We had a car on the set. And we were all outside. Said, do you want to sit in my car? And I was like, oh, yes, please, sir. Yes, please. And I was like, so he sits me in the seat behind the passenger seat, and he sits in the passenger seat. And he's got this really funny haircut where he's got, like, a hair on top, and it's shaved all around. So I'm just like looking at his half bald head from behind, and he's asking me questions. And his wife's like sitting in the driver's seat, and the heat's on, and it's snowing out. And he's like, "Where are you from?" I grew up in Los Angeles, born in Virginia. It was pretty bizarre.
Hey, so you talk about how so many moments in wrestling are real. There couldn't have been a more real moment for you than the moment you won the title. Now, you're someone who gets excited about, you know, everything in wrestling. That one moment where you win the match and you're in the ring and you are champion, that had to be something that you look back on pretty fondly, right?
Wow, it's really interesting because at the moment, I'm still playing the role. And when I look back on it, I'm like, you know, I'm playing the role that sort of me and Dallas were playing where, oh, there's a mix-up. Can you believe it, Dallas? You know what I mean? And then I guess, yeah, I mean, when he, like, brings me out in the crowd and stuff and we're among the people and, you know, now listen, I didn't have this experience that I've had now where I've been training and, you know, gone through some of this, like, you know, just a teeny bit of the struggle that these guys have gone through. I just didn't know. I was more of this sort of fair-weathered fan. I was more of, this is a show. I didn't really get to wrestle at that time. I didn't feel at that moment. I didn't, like, you know, I'm the champion. Oh, like, no, I felt like I'm playing this, like, telling this story. This is a storyline that, you know, was going to play out, and we're entertaining people. You know what I mean? I didn't take it as, you know, this is such a pivotal moment in my life. I don't know. It just didn't at that moment. I think it was like, you know, I was more like a fan, like who buys a belt. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like where I walk around and I'm pretending I'm the champion. That's literally like what it felt like. I didn't feel like I earned it. I didn't feel like I was truly the champion. And then they're explaining to me afterwards, do you know what it means, right? I was like, what? Means you can beat up anyone in the locker room. I was like, what do you mean? Like, no, you're the world champion. You can beat up everybody. So I was like, oh, maybe I should just beat up Tank Abbott. To, even if I get beat up, at least to show that I'm not a wuss. Like, that's part of the biggest problem of this whole thing. It's just being like punk. Like, you're just a punk, wimp, Hollywood loser, like, for the last 30 years. That's been like, you know what? Nobody likes that feeling, you know, especially if you have any kind of like male ego. And sure. I think that's sort of what got me into the, you know, deathmatch situation.
Are you still there, David? I think we lost you.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay.
Sorry. Ah. I just said that. I think that, like, machismo
right.
attitude is kind of what led to my deathmatch situation.
Did you did you think you were going to hold the title? I know you said you weren't really thinking about it at the time, but for longer than 12 days, or when they told you after 12 days that you were already losing, was that like a shock to you, or were you expecting it to be quick?
Oh, no. I knew it was going to be quick. It was sort of designed. I always, like, I don't know how much to talk about and how much not to, but I knew it was going to be quick. I knew it was just going to go to a pay-per-view. I knew, you know, like I said, I just thought about, oh, I get to travel all these cities with all these guys and get to know them, hang out in the locker room. You know, yeah, they didn't have, like, I didn't have gear or anything. I had, like, had some boots made. I had some boots already made just because I love wrestling. So if you look at them, they got like, they're just so generic. They're white with like a lightning bolt and a star on them. I don't even know where those boots Sono, but I had just had them made like during the movie. I was like, hey, I'd love to get some breasts and boots made. Who makes your boots? And they're like, this person sent like the shape of my foot and sent me these boots back. And they came like, you know, right around when all this stuff was happening.
Matt, do you have a pair of boots that you wear around your house?
I don't. I have a very big foot, but
what do you have? 13?
16.
16. Jeez, look at you.
And my son Matthew that you met's already a 13, so it kind of runs in the family.
Oh my gosh.
So you talked a little bit about the backlash among the wrestlers, that you got this slow kind of realization that this was a little bit more than you bargained for, but also the fan backlash. Of course, it ended up where WWE Magazine, you know, listed your championship run, and this is ridiculous, as a top reason for WCW's, you know, demise, which is the kind of thing I think you shouldn't take seriously. But when did you start hearing fan backlash? You know, maybe after you dropped it and you got back home, when did you start hearing this was such a terrible thing that David Arquette, how dare he have the title?
I would always bring the belt out to the fans because it was always about the fans for me. It, you know, as far as like, I'd bring the belt out to the fans, take pictures with it and you know, hold it and all the stuff. And I was bringing it out in like Boston or something, somewhere around there. And I brought it out, and then I get boom, like something hits me in the eye. It's like a rock, it's dirt. And I'm like, what the hell? And I look over, and there's this little kid. He's like 8 to 10 years old. And he's just looking at me, shaking his head. He just gives me the middle finger. He just hates me. He hates me with every ounce of his heart. He's like, you have ruined wrestling. So that was like a moment there. It was like, oh, they're really mad. You know what I mean? Like, and I knew the wrestlers were mad. When I talked to Booker T and he said, no, I've never won it. Like, just Booker T's such a humble and just such a magnificent person that just even the way he said that, I was like, oh, this is deeper than, you know what I mean? This isn't just the story. But yeah, as far as like, you know, different people saying like part of the downfall of WCW definitely came at a time when it was crazy. But like RJ City, my tag team partner, he goes, you know, I watched some of those Nitros and you know, those episodes you were on, and your stuff was some of the least crazy stuff going on in company at the time. But I get it. Like, it did do something to the belt, which still kind of bugs me, that I would love to see that belt come back. I don't know who owns the rights to it. I know some guy owns the actual belt, but I don't know, like, who owns the rights to, like, the big gold, like...
But dude, know. You know what the thing is? Wrestling, I mean, life, but wrestling's all about moments, and the moment where you won that, I mean, no matter what people say, belt, this, but people remember it. Like, how many people remember that moment where you won it? Whether they hate it or not, they still remember it and talk about it. It's a memorable moment in professional wrestling history, and that's the reason it was done. So, I mean, it served its purpose, you know, right, Matt?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I definitely think, you know, working with Vince Russo as I have the last couple of months and hearing his viewpoint at it, I want to hear what David thinks. Yeah. You've got this kind of feeling, like a lot of us do, like I do, and, you know, that it does mean something, you know, especially David, you and I are the same age. So you've seen the WWE championship go from person to person. I watched the WCW championship go from, you know, Flair to Garvin to Sting to all these guys. But Russo's argument is that nobody actually won it. And sometimes people won it because of politics. Sometimes people won it because it was in their contract. So how is it less valid that David Arquette wins this quote-unquote title than anybody else? And why should he get shit on for it?
Yeah, let's not forget the Montreal Screwjob. let me see. I totally kind of get his thing. I mean, I get that. It's funny because he looks at it from a completely realistic point of view. I now look at it from a completely marked point of view. Since all that's happened, it's all starting to make sense. You know, I got to be honest, like, I wasn't that familiar with Harley Race I knew these guys, but, you know, I'd go in and out of watching wrestling. So, you know, I knew who the Four Horsemen were. I wasn't sure, like, the Arn Anderson I was working with was actually one of them. You know what I mean? I kind of knew it. I didn't know the history of it. You know what I mean? Arn's telling me certain things. I don't know the depth of this guy's, you know, and all these people backstage, all these legends that you meet back there, and all of these guys that are coming in and out. I just didn't, I don't know. I'm not like the sharpest tool in the box. You know, I'm very spur of the moment. I like, you know, meeting people. You know, I meet a ton of people. I don't, you know what I mean? I'll do something and forget I ever did it. I mean, I'm just not that kind of guy. And I like it in a way where I like it, but I'm never obsessed. You know what I mean? I learned more in retrospect. And you know, at the time I did WCW, I had, you know, been a real fan when I was younger, but then totally lost touch of it and, like, worked on my career and hadn't really touched back into wrestling for years. So missed a big portion of that, you know, kind of like, I was familiar with the whole Attitude Era. You know, I knew these guys, but I wasn't, like, all the time watching. So I don't know if that doesn't answer your question, really. As far as nobody really ever wins it, I look at it as this. It's like a gold ring on your finger could represent your marriage. You know what I mean? Or it could just be a gold ring on your finger. And the value of it is your commitment to your marriage, your love for your wife, your family, what, you know, that you look at the ring and it holds your vows, you know what I mean? Or it could just be worthless, you know, just worth the weight of gold it is. Or you could put all that love into it, and that's what it sort of represents, even with more history, more lineages, and multiple, you know, years of investment and passion and, you know, and history of these different companies. You know, I didn't know, like, NWA was kind of then WCW and these belts. Like, you know, I didn't know when I won that belt that it had this lineage. You know, I knew that, you know, this belt's been around a long time. I didn't know. I just didn't know. I just wasn't that tuned in as a fan as I am now. Like, I don't know, like, half the people in New Japan.
Hey guys, we know we have a lot of male listeners, and for those guys, do you remember the days that you were always ready to go?
Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. So listen up, it's bluechew.com, and guys, that is blue like the color blue.
It's a crazy thing, it's a chewable, and it's available from bluechew.com. And it's got the same FDA-approved active ingredients that you find in Viagra and Cialis. You know they work. And like I said, it's a easy-to-take chewable.
Yeah, you can take it anytime. You can take it a day. You can take it at night, full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Because let me just tell you something. An opportunity could arise at any time.
Well, for almost everybody except me. But let me tell you this. If it did, if in fact it
That's
did,
true.
You know, all I got to do is go online, because Blue Chew is prescribed online. And it ships right to the door in a discreet package. You know, so there's no, like, in-person doctor visit. You don't have to be embarrassed or have that awkwardness waiting in the pharmacy. And it's a much easier way to kind of be always ready on the go.
And we all know, Matt, that you probably have had that awkward waiting in the pharmacy visit before. But nonetheless, Blue Chews are made in the USA. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they are cheaper than a pharmacy, which works out really good for your pocket.
You know, and it's guys, this is a no-brainer. You know, if you've always kind of considered something, you know, to help you in this way, you know, Blue Chew is the way to go. You go to bluechew.com and get your first shipment. Guess how much it is, Robbie?
How much is it?
It is free. It is free when you use our special promo code, Robbie. All you gotta do is pay a measly $5 shipping for a free shipment of Blue Chew.
And that's special promo code Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E. And notice how they made the code after my name and not Matt's.
Well, they actually want people to buy it. And don't, you know, and don't just take our word for it. I know many people who have used it, and they love the Blue Chew. Again, that's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com. Promo code Robbie to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And man, we appreciate them sponsoring the podcast and being supporters of Why It Ended. And make sure to go to bluechew.com. What's the promo code again?
R-O-B-B-I-E, Robbie.
It's amazing he has to spell out his own name. Try it today. Bluechew.com, promo code Robbie.
I'm a college graduate.
New Japan, I don't know how... You know, I didn't know the difference between a death match and a hardcore match. I just didn't know. I don't know. And I'm still, like, 47 years old. I should probably know the difference between a hardcore match and a death match. But apparently, one's more dangerous than the other. but even that, okay, even that. Like, okay, so one, light tube's bad. Chair, good. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Kendo stick. Okay, acceptable. You know, caps, really no class. I didn't know that, you know, hardcore's just like ladders, chairs, tables, kendo stick, you know, whatever else. Stop sign. Okay, stop sign. I don't see how that
can... You didn't Google this stuff or look it up in the dictionary before your matches, man? Come on.
No, I literally, like, took that match with, like, 2 days. They're like, this guy's crazy. I was like, awesome, I'm crazy, too. I watched a documentary on Nick Mondo, and I was like, oh, this is insane. You know, so I was like, oh, and I'd seen, like, you know, pictures. I'd never seen a match in person. I don't like the pictures. I don't like, you know, watching death matches. I'd seen backyard wrestling, but I didn't know. It was sort of more in line with that. I didn't know about something called garbage wrestling. I didn't know that it was so frowned upon. I really didn't know the difference between hardcore stuff and death match.
Well, leading up now to, like, you coming back to wrestling, all the years that you were away from it, when you thought back to everything you did you have bad or good memories? Like, did you have a sour spot in your stomach, or was it something that you wanted to eventually, you know, revenge yourself for and prove to everyone? Was this a plan all along to come back at some point?
No, I mean, you know, like I was saying, where wrestling's sort of like things you do with your friends. You know what I mean? I as a joke, gone to a WWE event one time and, like, wrote a former champion on a little piece of cardboard with an arrow. This was a joke, like, from the audience. And, you know, I'd always sort of had fun with it. Fans sort of had fun with it, but I'd always, whenever I'd go to matches, people, you know, you'd get, like, some fans that would be like dicks to me. So, I don't know if I can curse, but jerks to me. And then other fans that would, you know, like, get it and have fun with me. And Dave Lagana is friends with one of my buddies that this writer kid named Ben Joseph, who also, like, told me about RJ City, and we'd always talk about different wrestlers sort of in his area and then down here. And then the indie scene started heating up, and I started going to some indie stuff in LA because I'd never gone to indie matches before. I'd always just gone to WWE. Then I went to, like, a Ring of Honor show, and I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't write up until, you know, about a year ago or a little more, even, like, started watching Ring of Honor and New Japan, and any of the other stuff. So I didn't really know all that. I'm still like learning. I mean, I do have like a lot of other stuff that I have to do. So it's like, and wrestling is like almost, you know, a full-time job. I don't know like how people could do it. Like, it makes it a lot easier that there's the internet and there's Powerbomb and High Spots and Fight TV and all these different sort of places you can see these old matches. But if you don't, and you know, and you have to Google a lot of stuff to see like, oh, you know, Bob Backlund, that I just, is that his name, Bob Backlund?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like, I was like, oh, I'd see him at a show. You know, I just didn't know, you know what I mean? And I had to look him up, you know, and I knew, you know, Kid Dynamite, but I didn't know, like, he was Kid Dynamite. I remembered British Bulldogs, you know what I mean? I didn't know specifically him. So then I have to go back and see, like, his earlier stuff and see how incredible a wrestler he was. God rest for his soul. You know.
So how did that turn? Oh. So how did that turn into you saying, okay, I'm going to train and I'm going to come back, I'm going to wrestle? Like, it must have been, I've heard you say the words redeem, or say the words get the respect back from the wrestling audience, or get the respect back from wrestlers. This became kind of an obsession of yours as a guy my age who's now deciding I'm going to go full on with this thing. What's going on in your mind that's making that happen, that said, okay, I'm going to do this?
You know, it was like, because I would always try to go to like a WrestleMania or like different like event, like time periods of things. Like I'd go to a Raw when it would come through, or SummerSlam or something. And, you know, then they started talking about the fall of WCW, and there's all these jokes. And I started getting looped in there like Vince Russo does. And then, you know, and Eric Bischoff, and, you know, and I talked to Eric about it. I wanted to talk to Eric about it. I wanted to talk to Vince about it. I would ask Dallas. It's all sort of foggy for me, that whole time period, because I've been dropped on my head too. And so I kind of, you know, and then I started watching indies and what's happening in the business, and then you know, the guys are a little smaller now. So, and then you know, just following different people and just, I don't know. And I was talking to Lagana a while ago. He was, you know, he knew a lot about, obviously, about the sea stuff and some of my wrestling friends. And I was just like, I'm not just try to like, I got sick of people talking trash on Twitter, really. And I was at WrestleMania, and there was a couple people like RJ City and Matt Fidget, who I still have to have a match with at some point. So I was like, I knew they were there, I got in touch with them, and was like, well, you know what? You know, I don't, it mushroomed a little because he was calling me out on Twitter and doing all these videos. So then I went up and I said, all right, let's set a date. We still have to set a date. Maybe at the year anniversary, we'll see each other or something. So yeah, that's sort of when it started happening. And I was like, oh, and I had a friend there because we have a production company. We're always shooting stuff. And, you know, I had my friend there who shoots a lot of our little, like our little teaser stuff. And I was like, you know what, just around, you know, Goldberg's going to be here, and, you know, RJ City and Matt Fidget, and, you know, we're going to see all these people. So if you see them, film it. You know, you see a guy walking around with the I say, like, hey, give me my belt back, like stupid stuff like that. yeah, just film it. And then we'll, you know, we'll see what we get. And that's sort of what happened. And that's the beginning of sort of this new thing. Because then I started talking to RJ a lot about wrestling, and he's got a really interesting take on wrestling. He's like, you know, he's more, I guess he's a little bit more from the school of Vince Russo in a weird way, but he loves wrestling too. He grew up loving wrestling, and so does Vince. You know what I mean? I think Vince, part of the problem is people don't think he loves wrestling as much as he loves wrestling, but he loves it so much. But he, you know, he gets that it's a thing. RJ does this whole funny bit on it's this belt. These men are fighting over a belt.
Well, do you like wrestling as much now that you're doing it so much?
Yeah, that's the great thing. And that's the other reason I wanted to sort of come back. Because when you get in it, you're in it. You know what I mean? Then you're learning all these different things. You're learning little pieces of the carny language that goes on. And I'm starting to catch on right now, like the schmoz, like to put the schmoz on, like certain things that I'd never heard before. Is it schmoz? Is that the thing? Have you heard that?
A schmoz, Matt?
Well, that's yeah. More of a, it usually that means a lot of different shit going on, right, Robbie?
Yeah. I put the heat on him or whatever, but yeah, the schmoz. Weird thing. It's obviously Yiddish. It's like Yiddish corny talk. I mean,
hey, so
that's when you start falling really in love with it.
So you're falling in love with it. You're wrestling. You talked a little bit earlier about how you're gullible and you're daredevil. And you also talked a little bit that you took this death match that everybody's been talking about. 2 days before, you weren't exactly sure what you're getting into, but everybody kind of saw it. Now, I know that your fallout personally was that you felt bad that you brought negative attention to wrestling, but I don't think that was the outcome for wrestling fans. I think wrestling fans saw, wow, David Arquette is the real deal. He's got some balls, and he works hard, and he's got passion. But if you can talk us through that match a little bit, because there's still some things that are a little unclear to some people who watched it. What we know is, you know, the light bulb thing happened. Your jugular got caught. You started, you know, stopping the bleeding with your hand, and you somehow finished the match. Can you walk us through as much as you're comfortable with what happened in that match?
Well, my jugular didn't get cut. My neck muscle got cut like 10%. They had to put a few stitches in. And I worked out too soon, so it popped. So I have a little bump now. My neck muscle's like a little tweaked out. But yeah, so what happened? It's really hard because I don't want to I don't want to say too much. You know, it's hard to talk about because I agreed to do a lot of the stuff. You know what I mean? A lot of crazy stuff. We had crazy stuff coming later, and you know, it would have been a more insane match. But all I can say is wrestling's a really weird dynamic because it's different every time. You know, people say like it's choreographed or predetermined, but you know, I like to say, if it is choreographed or predetermined, it's like choreographed or predetermined MMA. And I don't know if it's harder now than it used to be, but I don't know a lot of people, the shots that you take are, I think maybe a Ric Flair or some other people and some pros are really light. You know what I mean? I know there's different degrees of, how wrestlers work. But from the opening bell, pretty much, I was trying not to. I find it hard to talk about because you don't want to, ruin anything for anybody. But it did just say from the first shot on, it was like, oh, you know, this is real. It felt pretty real, some of the stuff. So it gets hard to, do a match when I don't feel that safe necessarily. You know what I mean? And if certain things happen that, you know, I did things that weren't sort of pre-arranged, and he did some things that weren't pre-arranged. So, you know, it got into a place where at one point I pulled his legs, and he didn't know I was going to pull his legs, and I turned, and he had a piece of the light tube in his hand, and when I turned, you know, he was falling back, and my neck was there, and so I don't think that was on purpose or anything, and it was definitely my fault, and that's why I sort of took the heat for, you know, my inexperience, because I had gotten lucky enough to train with Johnny Rods a couple times, one time specifically, and, you know, he went over these rolls like 1,000 times, like these, like, really, you know, your rolls are horrible, he was telling me, and taking up half the ring, and, you know, the whole ring, you know what I mean? If you're going to do a roll, you have to learn how to do a tight roll so that, you know, you don't get hurt, and went over these rolls so many times, and all this stuff. And he was also like, so if I'm going to come up to you, you know, on the rope, you put your hands up, and he had shown me specifically where he kind of put his hands up around his neck, and I didn't know. I saw, and it's kind of, you see wrestlers do it, like even when you're in the corner or something, they'll kind of put their hands up, and they're like, come on, refs, and they're putting their hands up, but if you look at it, a lot of the time it goes by the neck, and it's in this, like, weird direction to kind of keep people away from your face and your neck. And I didn't know, like, what that was, but it's to get you prepared to, like, protect yourself. Like Johnny Rods told us a certain way to sit up, which I don't ever do, which, you know, if I had studied with him more than once, you know, I would, you know, you always get up and you face your opponent, turn around a specific way, and when it's safe, you get up. And he's teaching me sort of this old school way of wrestling and training so that you're prepared if you're in there with the shooter, you know what I mean? And get into a bit of a shoot situation. So, you know, it is what it is. I have no hard feelings. I don't think he does either. I'm really just so glad I didn't die. That's what I was worried about. I was holding my neck. You know, I cut my neck, and I could feel my neck muscle was tweaking out, and I was like, oh, man. So I went up to my friend, and I said, is it pumping? Because if it was pumping, I'd be going. You know what I mean? They didn't have an ambulance there, and 25 minutes away. So I'm really lucky just to be here, and you know, since it wasn't pumping, I was like, okay, well, let's go finish it. But I thought, you know, let's just go home. And then it wasn't really going to be what I was talking about. Then it turned into a bit of a shoot situation. I don't know. It was crazy. He's actually, you know what I mean? He's just stiff. You know what I mean? He's like what I would imagine, like the hard style, you know, Japanese. No, because I've never been in that situation.
So I know you don't want to talk too much about it because you're so respectful of the wrestling process and the protocol involved in professional wrestling. But let's talk a little about David Arquette. After that match, where were you at psychologically with wrestling and you know, confidence and how you were perceived? How did you feel after it, maybe a day or two, when everything kind of sunk in?
You know, the next day, I got sewed up, and the next day I had tickets to NXT. So I go there, and the hospital I went to wasn't a trauma place. It was just a regular hospital, and they kind of just sewed me up. And I was kind of like not even like, you know, didn't clean it up as much maybe as they could have. So I went, and I wasn't feeling great. I met a few of the fans, and I saw a couple of the matches, and then I was like, I wrote great tickets too. It cost me a fortune, so I didn't want to like just not use them. You know what I mean? And so I was like, oh man. But I had a friend there, so I called him up, and he took my seats. So then I took off early, and I just went home and I fell asleep. I woke up and I was like, my neck was locked up, and I was like shivering, and I couldn't like move, and I was like, oh, something's wrong. So I had to go to the hospital. They had to do a surgery and clean it all out properly and sew up my neck muscle and you know, put a tube in there to drain it and all that kind of stuff. So that was so then I had like 4 or 5 days in the hospital to just kind of reevaluate my life. My decisions. My decisions. You know, I went home and doesn't get wrestling at all. Like, I still just don't think they understand it at all. A lot like me, in a sense. Even this round, I tend to know it more. But, so I got a pretty big backlash of like people thinking I'm like on drugs or something. Not like, and I've always gotten that my whole career, and I've been on them and off them throughout my career. So it's not, you know, but I'm not, you know, had to, you know, for a while through this whole process, I've been, you know, getting in shape and training, being or anything. So, you know, like people thinking that, oh, he must be, you know, they always write that. Got to be high to be like in there doing that and that kind of stuff. So that kind of bugged me. And
this past weekend was your first match back, right?
Which was?
This past weekend was your first. This was your first time back in the ring, right? This past weekend.
Yeah, that was my first time back in the ring, and that kind of was. That was a bit traumatic.
I mean, I was going to ask you. So, were you nervous? Were you scared to wrestle me?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was. I'm always like, now I'm even more like, I don't know. Like, there are so many weird things that happen in wrestling that you just don't know about. Like, you know, even like sometimes fans, like weird fan stuff happens. There's also some weird, like, you know, ring stuff that happens. And there's like, you know, oh, he's a good ref and he's not such a great ref. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff happens. And there's like, you know, wrestlers wrestling a different way. And, you know, some can be trusted a little more than others, or some, you know, have egos about certain things and some don't. And, you know, some people, you know, take their gimmicks really seriously and some don't, and some like to have fun, put on a show, and I'm trying to find this middle ground of like, but yes, I was really nervous just to even get back in the ring. And after I took a couple bumps and stuff, my neck was like cuckoo. I was like, oh geez, like, am I doing this too soon? You know, on paper, it hasn't been the 5 weeks it was supposed to be since, you know, not doing anything. So, I don't know. I'm not really listening to all the doctor's advice. You know what I mean? I probably shouldn't have been in there so soon. But, you know.
But it felt good to be in there. I'm sure you feel great getting that match under your belt again. And I think that even though you hurt your back a little bit, I think the entire experience was it House of Hardcore with Robbie, even though Robbie was in it, was a positive experience, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. 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 And total pros and amazing. Yeah, but, you know, I didn't do the suplex script, but I took a suplex through the table. He's, you know, and now I took it in my 40s. It's a different feeling. It hurts a lot more. Everything hurts more when you get older. But the more you sort of train and you're doing it every day, that's when you start feeling a lot better, and your body can take it, and you kind of get it. become a bit, you know, my version of an athlete. You know what I mean?
So to end it here, Dave, we appreciate your time and everything, but so what are your goals in wrestling? Like, what do you still have that you want to do in wrestling while you're doing it?
You know, there was some old timer, Jim Cornette, and, you know, I get these guys, like, you know, I get the whole old school thing. Listen, you know, there's a difference between bleeding from a light tube getting hit in your head or old school gigging and all this stuff. Okay, you know, I get it now. I didn't really get it, you know, before. You know, I don't know. So, you know, there's a guy like Jim Cornette's probably never going to accept me, but, you know, the way he talked about me after this was like this B-movie actor and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just like, I never talked bad about Jim Cornette, and I get it. And, you know, he missed the irony in, you know, I guess death matches are my thing. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be funny. We're playing this, like, you know, Twitter part of the business now that, you know, we're being silly. But then I don't know if he's just shooting too. You know what I'm not shooting. I get all the words wrong all the time. I'm always like, you know, working and all shooting and all these things. I'm using them the wrong way. But, you know, I love all those old timers and all the sort of traditional stuff. So I would love to still, you know, somehow, because I feel like some of the younger sort of more hardcore elements of it might be like, all right, Davey's, he's all right in my book kind of situation. So maybe there's some old time, you know, there's still maybe the old time. I still have to learn some of the sort of some of the old school. And I'm meeting a lot of them. I met Michael Lombardi at Northeast Wrestling. He's been really great. And he like ran around with Dusty Rhodes and all these guys way back in the day and helped Cody early on in his thing. So I don't know, a match with an old timer or somebody connected to the old time would be pretty cool, or somebody in the whole, you know, think of it scene right now, just to kind of have that last sort of match for the moment. If not, you know, the whole thing, I don't know what the end game is. Maybe just you know,
to stay alive.
Well, that's the one thing, wrestlers don't live too long. So you gotta make the most out of life. I think that's sort of one thing that connects me with these guys, is that I really like to live life to the fullest and kind of, you know, experience it.
Well,
Dave, and put on a show for these fans, have fun, like, you know, put up, just have, go through these battles in front of these crowds to, you know, put on an insane show.
Well, it sounds like one of these things where you'll know what your goal is when you reach it. And David Arquette,
yeah,
just all around nice guy, really, really someone to respect. And we really appreciate you joining us here with Robbie this week. And thank you so much. And if you want to reach out to David Arquette on social media, he's at David Arquette. Do you have any movie projects or anything coming up that you want to tell people about?
I'm going up to Sundance with a film called Mope. I got a film called Saving Flora coming out about an elephant that, you know, and I run the circus. And then I got a few matches coming up. I'm going to be with Colt Cabana at Monster Palooza or WrestlePalooza up in Minneapolis. Late December, January, I don't know. I never know anything. and then I don't know. I got a few matches coming up.
All right. Well, I'm sure people can find them on your social media, right?
For sure.
Well,
for sure.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Dave. And I really think,
Yeah, dude. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks,
man.
Robbie. You're awesome, bro. I really appreciate your career, and I wish you guys all the best on all the meetings you guys do too.
All right, thanks, dude.
Hey, thanks, David. You have a nice night, man. Thank you for doing this, brother. Robbie, what a great interview with David Arquette. He really has my respect and respect of the wrestling fans around the world. And I think he's redeemed himself if that's what he felt like he needed to do. What about among the wrestlers? How do you feel the wrestlers feel about him now?
Well, before I get to that, I mean, shit, he's got to have your respect because you called him brother. I've never heard you say that word before in my life, brother.
You know, here is, I call everybody brother. I call Matthew brother. I call Larry brother. I call you brother. I go, thanks a lot, brother.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, the wrestlers at this point, in my opinion, should be respected. And he's, you know, people say he's not really, you know, you got to pay your dues or this or that. I mean, the guy now has had, what, 20, 25 matches. He's been training a few months. He was in it, obviously, years ago for a few matches. I mean, that, if you combine it all, is more experience than these new guys that come into wrestling school and train for 2 months and have matches anyway. So he's been wrestling just as long as the typical new guy. Plus, he's bringing wrestling, you know, TMZ clips and, you know, the fact that he's has a little fame, it's putting some eyes on wrestling. So I'm happy that he's a part of these things. He's fun and he's different.
Well, brother, let me tell you this.
Brother.
He had my respect before. I think at one time I was one of these wrestling fans that was like, oh, David Arquette got the world championship. But it's weird sometimes when you start working with people, you start learning, and these people stop being people on the TV and they start being real life people, you included. And it's like, it makes me almost mad that people are talking shit about this guy ever, because no one ever has ever wanted to wrestle more than David Arquette, I don't think.
Yeah, and not to mention, this guy didn't start his own promotion and make himself the champion because he's rich or something. He was at WCW, and they told him what he's doing, and he just did it. You know, like, it's not like it's his fault that he was handed this opportunity. But again, I'll say, and it is something I feel strongly about, people are still talking about it, which means it's memorable. People go back and watch it, whether they hate it or love it or make fun of it, they're watching it. It's a memorable moment, and in my opinion, that's the reason Vince Russo and Tony Schiavone came up with it, and I agree with it.
And, of course, it is a memorable moment, and another one from why it ended. Of course, we had the great interview with Tommy last week, who hates you, and then this week with David Arquette. And this week we got the interview, as we will every week. We'll get it up by Friday for those of you on our Patreon, patreon.com/whyitended. And of course, go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, check out our YouTube channel. And Robbie, what are you up to this weekend?
This weekend is Saturday. I will be wrestling for Dog, DAWG Wrestling. And that, my friend, is in Glassboro, New Jersey. Okay, I just had to think about it for a second, or look it up in my phone while we were talking.
I love the sound of you, like, scrolling through your phone. And that particular show, brother,
is DAWG Dog Wrestling, Glassboro, New Jersey. Thank you.
And if you want to get a hold of Robbie, he is at Robert Strauss on Twitter. I'm at Matt Coon Music. And of course, we are at Wyatt. And a special thanks to James Donnelly for introducing the interview this week. And we will see you next week.
Hey, wait. And don't forget, I mean, I know we talked about it in the opening, but guys, remember that Patreon page, we put up the Daivari interview, and that is a definitely must listen to interview.
Yeah, you think Tommy hated us.
Well, I hope you cut those parts out.
Well, you know, there would be nothing left.
Wow.
Yeah. On?
Why don't I? I'm mad.
Brother. 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 Brother.